was a good audience, and possibly the giant was a good interpreter. The girl gasped at the account of the fight in the bank, and laughed and clapped her hands, weaving a golden haze in the air when he told her about the escape by Sun Puppy. The spider climbed another twig and swung again. "Empress Sei, were you not scared?" Dom tried to explain the predictions while the spider completed several more jumps. He hadn't finished before the spider had completed a web of fine copper wire and retired to a twig, paying out two tiny power cables behind it. Dom told himself that he was being too expansive, too sure of himself. But Charlie was gazing at him wide-eyed. It was too much to resist. Besides, her perfume was going to his head. He was acutely aware of the giant lady's maid behind him, and the horse, too, had sniggered once or twice. While he was demonstrating his grav sandals by flying a figure of eight above her head, a small mechanical fly blundered into the spiderweb. There was a minute blue flash. Prowess in catching and steering wind shells was being explained while the spider slowly dismantled the protesting fly with two spanner-like legs. Another horse galloped between the trees. At the controls was Tali, almost hidden in an armour made of leather slabs in a complex overlapping pattern. He removed his fearsome helmet, wiped his forehead with his gauntlet, and smiled brightly at Dom. "Greetings, step-uncle. I thought you might be here. I hope you have not been overly bored." "Not at all," said Dom airily. "Your costume?" Tali raised his eyebrows. "I have been sham-fighting. Do you not fight sham on Widdershins?" Dom thought of one or two fights he had seen on the jetties when four-foot-long Dagon knives were used. "It's usually for real on Widdershins," he said. "Sham?" Tali unslung a long bundle from his horse and drew out a sword as tall as he was. The handle was leather-bound, with no superfluous decoration. The blade was invisible, except when it caught the light, when it showed up momentarily as a thin green sliver. "Sham sword," he explained. "The blade is, of course, only a few microns thick, forged as a molecule in a special sword light of dawn. Strong, too. Perhaps you are a good swordsman." "I can use a memory sword," said Dom. He drew his own and demonstrated. Tali took it gingerly. "How does it work?" "There's a little matrix field operator in the stud that can generate up to a dozen shapes." Tali handed it back. "Not an honourable weapon," he said sadly. "You would perhaps like a sham battle." He laughed at Dom's expression and pulled two wooden lathes from his bundle. "For practice," he explained, "so novices don't lose too many appendages in the learning. I am the second best shamuri on Laoth." Dom felt Charlie's eye on him. "Okay," he said miserably. After all, he could handle a sword by proxy on the Tsami board, even if it was only a 2-inch skewer wielded by a mommet. And there were only wooden poles. Tali unpacked another helmet and some pieces of leather body armour, and Charlie helped Dom into them. "You'd better explain the rules," Tali smiled. "This is only stick sham. Anything goes, but you've got to use the stick. Charlie will give us the signal." The girl, who had been watching them with interest, shook her head and spoke sharply to her brother. "She says we've got to fight for a prize. My sword against your grav sandals. I don't think that's fair." "Don't worry," said Dom. He bent down and began to unstrap his sandals. Tali sighed and laid his sham sword on the seat alongside them. Charlie waved a small handkerchief. The poles met in midair once, and they circled each other warily. Dom felt emboldened and tried one or two lunges, which slid harmlessly off the other's pole. Tali smiled and spun his pole around a finger. The spin carried on, the pole flashed across his back, was caught again, and came down with a thud on the heavy padding of Dom's helmet. Tali made a few passes and completed the movement with another gentle blow to the head. Dom jerked aside and swung his pole downwards. Tali hopped over it, lunged and twisted. Caught by the added leverage, Dom slid several yards on his stomach in the gravel. Charlie put her hand over her mouth and turned away. Her shoulders were shaking. Dom's pole came down with a crack across Tali's unprotected feet. Then he scrambled up and brought it down in a whistling arc that ended on the boy's arm. Tali staggered backwards, waving his arms desperately to keep his balance. Dom caught him again in the chest. Tali disappeared. Dom ran forward in time to see his white face vanish under the water of the waterfall pool. He struggled out of his own armour and dived after him, hitting the water in a jangle of water lilies. Far below him a dark shape was sinking into the depths. Dom caught it, grabbed him by the arm, and kicked out for the surface. As they broke water, gravity found the heavy armour again, and they both went under. He fought for the surface again, trying to find the buckles of the armour. Then a thick arm broke through the ripples, and he snatched at it.